where the end is Simin Shin Zayin, we'll be doing Sivchav Beis, as well as the Psicha to Simin Shin Ches. Kol Shvus Durabonon Mutter Bein Hashmoshes L'Tzorach Mitzvah. You're allowed to do any Shvus Durabonon Bein Hashmoshes L'Tzorach Mitzvah. Kagon Lo Mala Ini Yehudi Ladik Loner Bein Hashmoshes, to ask a non-Jew to turn on the fire, to light a candle. We're talking about Amir Oliakum, which is a Shvus. Oh, Imhoya Torid Vutzuch La'aser Bein Hashmoshes. Or he wasn't able to meiser before, and he wants to meiser. So lemaisa, the iser of meisering is an iser drabanan. It's a tikkun mona drabanan. But all of this is only if he was torud, if he really had no time. Otherwise, it is usur to lechatchila leave something for bein hashmashes to ask a non-Jew to do, or to do any drabanan. Says the Rama now, Hago kol davar shasa lo malei niyudi lasosa b'shabes. Also, lirmos lo lasoso. The same way that there's an isser of amira lenochri on Shabbos, there's an isser of a remiza of hinting to him. Avol muter lirmos lo lasas malacha acher Shabbos, but Chazal didn't aser hinting to him to do malacha after Shabbos. So the same thing. You're not allowed to tell him something where it'll become obvious from that you want him to do malacha, some kind of sign language. For example, what was nog in those days was that their lamps would often get, they'd end up getting like charcoal sitting at the top of it, ash, and you needed someone to go and push it away so it would burn better. So what they used to say to the Nachri, they used to say, clean your nose. And he understood what that meant. So that would be considered an amira. Whereas it would be mutter to be meramis to him in a way that you're not mentioning the malacha. For example, there's no issa remiza if you say, oh, it's not burning very well, or I can't read very well by it. Now, all of this was regard to the issa amira. There's no issa of amira if it's remiza shaloka derech tzivui. However, there's still an issa hanol whenever a non-Jew does something for a yid, unless we're talking about an insignificant hanol, in which case a Jew won't be tempted to ask the non-Jew to do it. For example, take the case of the lamp where it's got ash there, so it isn't burning as bright, but it's burning. You could have learned by that light anyway. Now you can learn much better. There's less of an eye strain. The halacha there is that there's no iser hanah, and if you do it, shelo kederach tzivui, it's mutter, so you're allowed to say, it's difficult for me to read. Further, a non-Jew owes a yid grain. So what he does is he delivers it on Shabbos. The yid will give him the key to his storehouse. And the non-Jew goes and puts it in there. Umodid in umon, and the non-Jews are measuring and counting. Yesh misha matar mishum de eni yehudi b'malechas atzma osik. Because the Jew is not kona the tefuah until afterwards. So right now, the non-Jew is doing malacha in his own things. And later, the Jew will make a cheshbon with him. Non-Jews are making cheese, and it's a question of being a mashgiach over it. And it's known the Jews are going to buy this cheese only. What he's dreaming about is his money. Even though the non-Jew knows the Jew comes there week after week, and the Jew is going to make sure that it's bought. Nevertheless, since it belongs to the non-Jew, there is no problem. That's why the halacha is, even if a non-Jew owes a Jew money, and as a result of it, it's clear that he's making cheese for him, but the Jew wasn't koneid yet. The halacha is that it is mutter, even if the Jew is only there on Shabbos, and he only works on Shabbos. Meaning the non-Jew is only making the cheese on Shabbos, it's still mutter. Now, the Mishtabur brings down the tiltul muktzah by way of a non-Jew. is a shvus to shvus, and it's only mutar b'makom mitzvah. The truth is that we saw before that shelo b'fnei am ha'aretz, there's never an iser of amir liakum on tiltul mukta, because there's always a way of doing it beheter, tiltul begufo, and so on. Since there's always a way of doing it beheter, it doesn't become usur if it's done be'iser. Also, if a non-Jew walks into a Jewish home carrying his own objects, the Jew can tell him where to put them because they belong to the non-Jew. So long as they're the non-Jew's objects, you're allowed to tell him where to put them down. With this, we arrive at Simen Shin Ches, the halachas of Dvarim HaMutarim V'Asurim LeTaltel B'Shabbos, commonly known as Muktzah. And Mishnah Berurah gives us a Hagdama, and perhaps there's a need for a slight Hagdama before the Mishnah Berurah's Hagdama. And that is that the yesod of muktzah, to begin with, is a yesod that really has very little to do with carrying. The halacha is that on Shabbos, anything that is eino min hamuchon, something that does not naturally stand to be used on Shabbos, it is usur for you to use on Shabbos, because if you do, it's as if you are creating within it a new usage, Shabbos use. This is something that was not really standing for Shabbos use. By using it on Shabbos, you're giving it its hachana. You're making it usable for Shabbos. There's a machlokas, Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda all over Shas. What makes something muchan? Reb Shimon holds anything is muchan unless there was some act of making it non-muchan. And Reb Yehuda holds the other way around. Unless you're making things, the stam thing is, or most stam things end up being eino min hamuchan, because you wouldn't have thought of using them on Shabbos. The halacha is like Reb Shimon. That's with regard to use. Something that has no use whatsoever, it seems that was usur to be carried, that was an isur, it was usur to be moved, that was an isur tiltul, that is an old gzeira. The Aruch HaShulchan points it out. The Gemara tells us that when David HaMelech was nifter, so Shlomo HaMelech made mention of the fact that it was usur to move him. So you see that already in the days of David and Shlomo, there was an isur of moving something that didn't have a use. Now, aside from that, we learn, the Gemara darshens the psukim, that Nehemia saw that there was rampant chilul Shabbos, they were doing their commerce, so he went and he warned them, and then finally they stopped coming on Shabbos. What happened? So the Gemara says, he made a gzeira, and he said, everything, you cannot move anything on Shabbos except for basic eating utensils. Later, as he saw that it caught on and people were not being mechalel Shabbos, he lifted that gzera and did it gradually until we arrived at the level of the iser tiltul that we have today. So the Zamachlokas, we've shown him how to learn up that parsha. When Nehemiah made his iser tiltul, if people were really blatantly being over on Chil Shabbos, then how, when he made his gzera, would they listen to him? If they're not afraid of an iser skila, why should they be afraid of the iser of Nehemiah? So the Rambam seems to be learning pshat in it by saying why Chazal made an iser of tiltul. He says either because the same way the Pasuk says that Shalote Helucha b'Shabbos Kelucha b'Chol, you don't walk on Shabbos the way you do and Tashi b'Shabbos Reglecha, you don't walk the same way that you do all week long, you're not supposed to take big steps or run. So many other things that we're not allowed to do on Shabbos because they take away from the spirit of Shabbos. So certainly Chazal do not want us moving things around on Shabbos the way we do all week. Second of all, you'll come to Malacha. And third of all, there are people that don't work all week. The only way that Shabbos becomes Nikar is through the Yisr of Muktzah. The Ravid learns that it was a Gzera Otu carrying. In other words, it wasn't that there was blatant Chil Shabbos in Yerushalayim the way the Pasuk is describing it at the end of Yirmiyahu, at the end of Nehemiah. What was going on was that people were coming Lidei Chil Shabbos by accident. They were ruining the spirit of Shabbos. So there, Chazal went ahead, Nehemiah went ahead and made his Isser Tiltul. That Isser Tiltul is known as Muktzah, because the Yesod is, you're not allowed to move on Shabbos anything that you didn't expect to move. Things that you only expected to move here and there, because their essential use is Asr, you're allowed to move here and there, there are Heterim, but otherwise it's Asr. And then there are things that you expected to use on Shabbos, and they're not Muktzah for Tiltul either. So, we now have this din of muktzah for tiltul, which is really Nehemiah's gzera of kelim, that came to prevent one or another form of chilul Shabbos. So, the Mishnah Berurah gives us the four categories of muktzah. First, there are things that are muktzamach v'schasaron kis. That is things that are set aside for malacha, and you wouldn't dare use them for anything other than malacha because you're afraid they're going to get ruined because they're expensive, they're sensitive, they're delicate. The next case is muktzamach v'sgufo, which means something that is not considered having a use altogether, such as sticks and stones, dirt in the ground. So both of these categories are usur betiltul under all circumstances, meaning even though you're moving it because you need its place, you want to move it because you want to use the object, it will still be usur. Whereas the next category is a kli shemalachto le'isur, that is a keli whose normal use is for malacha, but you will also use it for non-malacha. Such a keli, the halacha is you can move it letzara gufo makomo, meaning you can use the object if you need it, you can use its plate. Its place. You can move it in order to use its place. And the last category is something that is a kli shemalachto leheter. However, it is a bosis ledavar aser. At the beginning of Shabbos, you had on it something that was muktzah, where it therefore remains muktzah the entire Shabbos. That is the basic yesod, and we'll see the details in Shin Ches.